This is The Hardline, the greatest show on earth.
Well, maybe just in St. Louis.
The Hardline with TJ Moe, Cam Jansen, John Hadley, Bob Ramsey, and who the hell else knows?
Hey, welcome into the Hardline, 5-9 The Fan, Cap'n'S, 5-9thefan.com. I inform Missouri wide receiver TJ Moe, along with the voice of the Slew Billikens, Bob Ramsey, and Matt Rocchio here, the voice of reason, I suppose. It is a Thursday, a snowy Thursday, and boys,
you
I
know, let's
tell
just
you,
roll with that for a while. Yeah, I like that, Bob.
On my, you're welcome, like Rock. I needed a name for everybody.
I can roll with that.
Fellas, on the way in here, I thought it was going to be late, and here is why. I'm sorry this isn't a television show, because we would have it up on the monitor for everybody, but check this out, Rammer.
iPhone video through a moving car window.
Can you see what I...
Something's on fire.
There was a car engulfed in flames in the middle of the road. I mean, it wasn't like, you know, there was just a little fire starting. The entire car was about to explode. So I was rolling by at about 80, trying to make sure it didn't explode next to me. But I took a video.
Well, there you go.
And so he's probably glad it's snowing in hopes that it would maybe put out the flames.
I don't know if that works.
Yeah, that's too bad.
It seems like it would. It wouldn't be nice if cold, well, it wouldn't be nice. It'd be interesting. When you're a little kid, I remember thinking, I don't know, 5 years old, whatever.
Which was not really that long ago, if you think about it. Not in the grand scheme of the world.
Really isn't. Cold weather, you know, the fire shouldn't be as hot in the cold weather. Cold weather would, you know, put out the fire.
Mm.
Right? You would think, fire hot, cold weather, and it's really cold, it beats the fire.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you. You know, darkness is just the absence of light, so it all works together.
You would think. I discovered later, of course, that that was...
Someday we need to do a segment on all of the crazy things we used to think when we were kids, like how things worked. I was convinced, I still am, that how you had kids, when like how you got pregnant was you just touched bellies. Like I thought, like when I was a kid, that was just, you know what I mean? I was like 4 or 5 years old. I was like, okay, so you just don't ever...
That's pretty close.
That's pretty
close. You're really pretty close.
I'm like, you just touch bellies, you're fine. And anyway, I still have not learned otherwise, but I assume everybody else knows, at least I know in theory, Rammer. So we cannot start out with the NBA multiple days in a week, but we do have some fun NBA stories that I want to get to today. It is a rule.
So they're playing again?
Yes. When I signed this contract, there's actually a rule that says you cannot open up your show with the NBA multiple times in the same week, and we already did that with Anthony Davis. But we do have some LeBron James nonsense.
Oh, yeah, because I missed yesterday, so I missed that.
Okay. Yes. Well, you were here yesterday, but 2 days ago, yes. We have more LeBron James nonsense.
Right.
And we have there's actually quite a bit of news. But what we should open with is... The rant I never got to yesterday, and
we got a rant?
Well, it's not really a rant, but it's just...
Come on, rant.
I am so tired of National Signing Day, and did anybody even know that it was National Signing Day yesterday? We didn't even talk about it. We didn't talk about it. Why? Because it's so irrelevant today with the early signing period that Missouri signed two guys. That's it. Signed two guys.
I only know because Earl Austin's nephew from MICDS... signed, who's a great basketball player and football player, signed to play football at Cornell. So, because Earl's on top of everything and I follow Earl, I went, oh, yeah, it's signing day. Cool. That was it.
Signing day has officially moved to December. This is now signing day for kids that they weren't sure were going to be eligible, since there is, over the last 5 years, a new rule that says you can't, it's the Nick Saban rule. You can't sign 40 people knowing that 11 of them aren't going to make it. And so you have a normal class because with the oversigning, you're making reservations for kids. So then you have signing limitations. So it's for those kids and the super elite prospects that you will keep a spot for and just not sign anybody just in the hopes that you'll keep them.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only people. Any person like me signed already, because if I would have waited too long, we don't have a spot for you, dude. You're not that good. So those kids sign in December, and you make your commitment as soon as you get an offer. You know, maybe you mull over it for a month or so. But after that, you mostly, let's pick a place and get rolling here and make sure I got a spot. But things have changed, and not necessarily in a good way, since I was in school. And we've talked a little bit about this, but Ross Dellinger, who used to work for the Columbia Tribune, Rock, I think when we were in school, he was at the Columbia Tribune. Mm-hmm. He is now writing for Sports Illustrated. And he posted a graph here about digging into what he calls a disturbing trend, and I agree with him. The uncommittable scholarship offer. Since 2012, Power 5 schools have offered more than 101,000 prospects for 15,000 signees. Now, obviously that number's skewed because you, me, and Rock could all like the same guy offer a scholarship and only one, you know what I'm saying?
Right, he can only
go to one
place.
So that's three offers for one guy.
Yeah.
So obviously the numbers are skewed. They're not that skewed, though. 101 prospects for 15,000 signees. And there's a couple schools who have passed the 400 offer mark this cycle alone, and 13 other schools have passed the 300 plus. So you offer 400 kids knowing you can only sign 25. And so the reason they call it as an uncommittable scholarship is because I personally know of kids that have tried to commit and they say, well, you're kind of down the line here. You have an offer. That's true.
Well,
let's see
you know
how it plays out.
Yeah.
That's not an offer. So I would scrap the whole system. The entire signing day is a joke, and so is the way that they offer scholarships now. Nobody should ever be considered to have an offer until paperwork is sent to them that you can sign. And that should be available the second your junior year is over. When you are done with your junior year, May 25th or whatever day it is, if you have scholarships that of, you know, if Nick Saban says you got an offer, then if you really have an offer, you should be able to sign the first day after your junior year. They should sign you that paperwork. Now, you don't have to sign it. You can wait until December if you want, take official visits, however you want to do that. But for me, I would have signed that day to Missouri. The second I committed in June, I would have signed that day. And that way you get rid of these 101,000 prospects that were offered Division I scholarships by Power 5 schools, and only 15,000 of them ended up being able to go. Because you can't send somebody paperwork if you're not going to accept them. If you have signed paperwork, they're locked in. That's a lawsuit waiting to happen.
Right. Maybe it's not the dates that are the problem. It's, you know, if I come to your house and make you an offer, it's up to you and your dad to say, all right, give me the paperwork. I'll sign. Or, you know, put it in writing. Put your offer in writing.
Well, we have them in writing, but it still doesn't mean anything. Because the spot can be taken from you, rescinded any time. That's why you need the paperwork that says, sign it now. Once you have signed papers from both parties, now you're done. But I have written scholarship offers at home that if I would have waited too long, those are gone.
No, what I'm saying is, I'm piggybacking off what you were saying. As soon as you're done with your junior year, mm-hmm. I send you the offer in writing. And then you just said, I can sign it or sit on it for a little while. But that counts. So I'm agreeing with you. All I'm saying is, if you did that, you really wouldn't need to pick a date.
Exactly. I'm saying there should be no date.
Right.
I'm just moving it up
yeah.
to when you could sign it. That way, you also help the coaches who are in a place where the reason you're making all these offers is because you get so many kids making reservations and then they pull out. So now you need more options. Yeah, I'm committed to Tennessee, but last day I'm going to flip. Isn't that cool? I took off my Tennessee hat and I'm wearing a Florida shirt. Isn't that awesome? Well, you just screwed Tennessee, who saved mm-hmm. a spot for you. And so now you have to have been actively recruiting other kids. You can't have not been recruiting anybody. And then when that kid flips on you, you just don't have a class.
The screwing goes both sides.
That's
both
exactly
ways.
Right.
And to tighten it up to where I commit to you, you commit to me, it's in writing, okay, here we go.
Yes.
That's what needs to be done better.
And I wouldn't allow it to happen before the junior year. Kids are too, you can't be like writing
no.
things. But the start of your senior year, it should become available, and there shouldn't be a national signing day. If you make an offer to somebody and they're a senior in high school getting ready to go somewhere, they should be able to sign and say, let's roll. I'm locked in. I don't have to worry about anything, because there are kids who have shown up on National Signing Day and don't have an offer anymore, and it is coming in what used to be February, and now they're screwed.
I haven't given this any thought, which is probably obvious. When we change these things dramatically, we have to look for unintended consequences. Mm-hmm. So what about TJ Moe, top 50 recruit, and five schools that you like them all? You know, Alabama, Auburn, South Carolina, Mizzou, Ohio State, and USC all have offered you. In that situation, you know, because that's usually what, you know, and then we get to signing day and the guy's moving the hats around like three-card Monty. And so how do we, you know, you've got to wait to see what your best offer is going to be. And maybe you've got a dream school. And just because Auburn wanted you first, you know, the inclination is, yeah, I'm going to jump on that. But you have been told that maybe somebody else wants to offer you. And that's maybe why they have those dates, so that stuff like that, the game playing doesn't linger on and on and on.
Well, I think the fact that you had it so late encourages the game playing to go
up until that point.
Well, yeah, but I mean, after that point, you've already signed the papers and now you're done.
That, right. I agree.
So couldn't you just say it is a open season, sign the papers whenever you want, and now you're officially done. You are legally done. Somebody will take you to court and you're not going to be able to go if you've already signed these papers.
But what if you're one of those, but the schools still have the problem is I'm looking at five guys. I might not get any of them.
That's right.
But I send them the work. Now I can't go after five other guys, because we'll get back to the numbers that were just in that report. You see what I mean?
I do, but I think that does not increase the issue that you already have. You already have that issue. What it does is, I think,
but it doesn't fix it either.
It does to some degree, because you will have guaranteed spots on both sides done earlier, and so you know.
Unless you think USC is going to come calling, and then you wait.
Yeah, but if for instance, that's true. But that's all that also is a danger on my part toward. I have no offers, and kids do that now anyway. But if they know, if Missouri knows, look, I got a class of 25 that I got to fill. I got 17 done in August. So now I don't have to send out 400,000 offers to everybody. I already got 17 locked in. They're not leaving. They can't. So now I just have to figure out these other eight spots. And mm-hmm. maybe these are the eight elite prospects that are going to wait until the very end. I mean, there's a guy named Bryce Brown who came up in my class, ended up going to Tennessee. He didn't sign until like June. National Signing Day is in February. I think he showed up on campus in Tennessee. Like, he just kept saying, you know, God told me to, I don't know, and never signed anywhere. Eventually made it to Tennessee. And anyway, he ended up basically not playing college football and ended up in the NFL somehow in the Eagles. I don't know how that worked. But point is, you can still get there. But if you move everything up and don't have you can sign officially this day, all the encouragement of the game playing goes out the window, because you have locked in spots that otherwise you're just hoping. Like, coaches sit there next to the fax machine and just pray that these guys send it in on that day.
That's right. So I wonder if, again, I'm just trying to think of unintended consequences. So it's, you know, let's say it's June 1, because schools get out at different times. You wouldn't want to give anybody an edge. But just for our conversation, let's say it's June 1. And so Auburn comes in and offers you, but Alabama's been talking to you, Mizzou's been talking to you, and so is USC. I'm trying to think of if signing that very first day gives you an edge, gives them an edge, gives anybody else an edge.
I don't think so. I think if you're that good, everybody holds a spot for you. No different than right now.
Right.
Right. You just have to do it later. That is similar. The one thing I would, you'd be required to change, because so much happened, you're now signing before your senior season, is that if there's a coaching change, you immediately get out of the paperwork.
Yeah.
That you're done.
It's null and void.
That's right. If there is a coaching change, that has to be written into the rules. And it should be a standard contract. You mm-hmm. don't have to have a bunch of 17-year-olds who know how to read a bunch of legal jargon. It's a standard contract that everybody signs, just like the NLI right now, that has that in it. But the bottom line is, you better be darn sure when you're 17 years old what you're signing locks you in, because you're not going anywhere else unless there's a coaching change. That is the one caveat that I think could be an unintended consequence that you have to have an out for. Outside of that, I don't see any drawbacks. Because when both parties are locked in, you're much better off than playing a game until February.
Yeah. I wonder how much it would change it. That'd be interesting. It's an interesting thought.
National Signing Day, in essence, would be moved up to that June 1st.
Yeah.
Except that there are a lot of kids, and I shouldn't say a lot, but there are a number of kids that are offered because they have great senior years. Some, not a lot. Carl Geddes is a good example. Carl Geddes, about week four of our senior season, got an offer from Missouri, and he committed on the spot.
It's a little different in basketball, too, because the summer tournaments and the AAU circuit changes a lot. So that's a little bit different, too.
Here's the other thing that I would I'd have to put thought into this because I just thought of it and going down your road of unintended consequences.
Yeah.
I think I would say you cannot extend an offer, even a verbal offer, until this date. You can actively recruit guys, but this stops you from, Lane Kiffin, when he was at USC, offered David Sills as a quarterback when he was in the seventh grade.
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah, like,
happens occasionally, yeah.
And there's a kid that just got offered as a ninth grader. Like, it happens quite a bit now. Doriel Green Beckham was offered by Missouri as an eighth grader. And that's nice. What you need to do is create relationships and then decide, because everybody thinks, go look at these rivals' profiles. It's the craziest thing in the world. These guys think they have 900 offers. Dude, you don't have 900 offers. And they want everyone. They want Ball State. It doesn't matter if you got USC, Texas, and South Carolina on there. They want Ball State because that's another offer.
So, what got you on a major rule change when yesterday rolled by?
One, yesterday was incredibly unnecessary. So that's what started it. I'm like, why do we even have this day? Moreover, why do we have a National Signing Day period? Like, it's nice and it's kind of fun for everybody, but wouldn't it be more fun for us if we had good news 25 times throughout the year instead of just once?
Hey, we just signed so-and-so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, let's have a big announcement sometime in August. Now, kids may still say, hey, I want to focus on the season, can't make any decisions yet and whatever, but there's also some pressure there. What if you lose your spot?
Mm-hmm.
You might be focusing on a season for no reason. You may end up at Southeast Missouri State instead of...
So is that fair?
To who?
To a kid.
Well, sure. It actually, this is looking out for the kid. What's not fair to a kid is telling him he's got 36 offers that he's not allowed to commit to.
That's true.
I think this benefits
the kid. No, what I'm saying is, in the scenario you just made, now I want to think about it, and then that scholarship goes away while he was thinking about it.
Well, that happens now.
Yeah, but with the signing days, it kind of gives you, hey, the ACT is on. I mean, rather than have the ACT anytime you want to take it. I'm just saying sometimes those deadlines get people to focus and say, okay, it's time. Excuse me, it's time to make a decision.
Yeah, it's interesting because I don't think that's a reality. I think that could be. That could be a reality for a few. The real reality is this. I think that's already happening. And this would give the kids an opportunity to make sure it doesn't. You can sign right now. And then you don't have to worry about it. We're locked in. Here are the papers.
Mm-hmm.
But if you wait a week, I can't guarantee it because we do have other offers out. And it's first come, first serve. So what that does is it makes coaches be really smart with their discretion about how they're going to create offers. Because if you offer 12 kids that are kind of borderline, but you're really going after these 22 up here, what if those 12 commit before any of the 22? Now you're locked in with those 12, and you got to fill your other spots with a bunch of kids that you otherwise may not have wanted.
Is there an unintended consequence of this new system, we'll call it the TJ system?
Oh, I like
that. On the TJ system that most recruiting rules made by the NCAA always, not most, always favors the big schools. Are there any consequences, say, relative to, say, Ohio State versus Wyoming?
Yeah, because a kid wants to go to Ohio State. Of course there is, but that's true forever.
So, but that forces Ohio State to make a commitment. Then the Wyoming guy knows, okay, I'm not getting him. I got to go find another guy.
Which indirectly benefits
them. So that
would
be good. That would be good, yeah.
I think there are a lot of benefits, and maybe if we thought through this for hours and hours and hours, or 3 years down the road, you have an issue. But I think there are massive issues right now. Again, I think I read this wrong. There are 101 prospects for 15,000 signees. Meaning, what's the math on that, Rox? Almost eight times as many kids were offered. Kids, not these aren't multiple offers. 101,000 prospects. So 8 to 1 Only one out of every eight kids actually had a place to sign.
Right.
When in reality, they had a Power 5 offer.
Right.
And there has to be some of that because you have to have...
You got to work in case you don't get a guy.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. So it's going to be like that to some degree, but an 8-1 is ridiculous. So what it makes sure, if you can sign the papers today, it makes you really careful. Because what's worse here, Raymer? Think about this. Is it worse to give a kid false hope that he may have somewhere to go, like these 101,000 prospects, or to have less offers and the kid have kind of a reality check and not so many kids are getting recruited?
How many of those kids didn't get to play college football?
Oh, they all did.
Well, then what's the problem?
I'm with you. I'm saying it's worse to give somebody false hope as if, well, I do have all these offers
from Missouri. He ends up at Jacksonville State instead of Alabama.
Yeah. How'd you open up at Jacksonville State?
Well, I was waiting on Alabama, and then,
Well, I had an Alabama offer, man, but it just didn't work out. Well, then you didn't have an Alabama offer.
Right.
What do you mean it didn't work out? You tried to go
Dream World.
They said no. But they told you. I believe they told you because that's how it works.
Yeah.
And that Missouri... I can't speak to the recruiting now. I would assume it's the same. But I know that Missouri, when they recruited me, pointed this out. They said, there are a lot of people who pull offers. Your offer is good until signing day, so long as the class is not full and then there's nothing we can do about it. But we will never pull an offer from you. We have evaluated you. You are good enough. We have this many spots. And they also said, the second you commit, there will never, ever be taken back. You are committed. That's it. And the offer is good, again, until the class is full, and then there's nothing I can do about it.
But they're still off. So if they had 15 spots, they recruited 30 guys or 40 guys. So the offer is good, but if you wait too long, it's not.
That's right. But I'm saying at least that's an ethical way to approach it.
They told you, hey, we've got 15 slots. We've offered 30 guys.
And it's not about their discretion.
Yeah.
It's about whether I waited too long.
Right.
You know what I mean? If it's up to your discretion, well, look, I'm just saying we got our board up here, and you're really eighth, and one through four hadn't decided where they're going.
That's a different deal.
Your commitment.
Yeah.
That's not how Missouri operated before, and I assume it's not how they operate now.
Right.
I just know that this entire conversation, it is very similar to, you know, you could talk about anything. Immigration, right? Everybody's like, can we all agree that our immigration system is broken? You can decide how you want to fix it, but we all think it's broken.
Mm-hmm.
This is broken. So there are different schools of thought on how to fix it. This is how I would go about it. And I haven't heard anybody talking about it. Why would you not allow a kid to sign the second you both have come into an agreement that you want it to be done? Let's put it in writing and get this thing done. Why, Raymer, could I say, hey, you know what? I really like your talents. You are a heck of a play-by-play guy. I think in about 2 years, I'll have you sign a piece of paper and we'll get this thing done. But can we both agree right now we're good? Why don't we just put it on paper and say,
if we agree,
officially in 2 years, we know this is going to happen. It's right here in writing. You'd have to take me to court to make sure this thing doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
So let's make sure it's airtight and let's both roll. Sign the papers now.
314 says it protects the low to mid-level athletes from being dropped prior to signing day.
Yes, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. Because that is part of the we've actually seen this where
they take that guy as a safety, but if they get a couple of the guys they want, the safety's gone.
Now, here is, you talk about a potential risk on this. If a player gets an out when a coach is fired, should the coach get an out when he's newly hired? We're always worried about what's best for the kids, but what's best for the coach, and are you taking kids?
No, he's a grown-up, and he has all the information in front of him, and he's getting paid. Here's what we have. You don't want him.
I think I agree with that.
Tough break. Don't take the job.
I think I agree with that. It's something you need to talk about, though.
But whereas Mizzou tells you this is good for 4 years, that's not the rule. That's their policy.
No, there are four-year scholarships just introduced in the last 2 years.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm behind then.
But you're correct. Typically,
it has always been year
by
year.
Yes, they are introduced, and this is something there is pressure to actually go to these full bore now. This is a four-year paper. You sign this thing one time, and we're off and running. We don't have to renew your scholarship. Now, you could be kicked off the team, and you know it's like you just like this DeAndre Francois thing.
Right.
What we talked about yesterday, where there was maybe domestic assault. We just heard noises. Turns out there wasn't really. They kicked him off the team anyway. You can always find a way out, but there is mounting pressure. May even be more than 2 years now to go to these four-year scholarships, and that is an option now.
So it just depends if a coach goes in and doesn't like what he has to build with, and doesn't want to wait to get out and recruit and build his own program with his own guys, then, you know, they do have the option of running guys off.
Mm-hmm.
And so that just depends on what that school's policy is.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. As the more we talk about it, I'm fully on board with what you're saying. If a kid has signed those papers, he's in. And so you may not like that, but you also need to have discussions with the people who just hired you saying, okay, but just so you know, don't count this as my first recruiting class then. These aren't my kids. I'll try to do the best I can with them. We'll coach them up, and I hope 10 of them are starters. But the likelihood of them fitting my system and being the athletes that I could probably recruit, the caliber that I'm used to and the reason that you're hiring me here, they don't fit.
So, you know, we went through that with SLU when Rick Majerus came on board. We had Kevin Lish and Tommy Liddell were two dynamic players. For whatever reason, and I don't know, I never could really figure it out, although a couple of years later, Majerus didn't really apologize, but went far enough to say he didn't handle it well. And then that was all he said about it. But he would frequently use the line, well, I didn't recruit them, and they didn't come to play for me. We're just stuck together. And he didn't,
oof,
he didn't really embrace those guys being really star players. And I always had the opinion, okay, they maybe you wouldn't have even recruited them had it been 2 years earlier.
Yeah.
But they're here now, and they can both really play. Why not embrace them to kind of lead the way and really bring them on board while you teach your system as your classes come in? And it didn't really work that way, and there was it was always just a little bit uncomfortable.
That's a good point. That brings up what should be another thing that is discussed, and I know the NCAA hates it and fans hate it and whatever, but I think it deserves some consideration that if both parties decide this isn't working, that a player who did not play for a new coach can transfer without penalty. Coach says it's not working, I'm saying it's not working. Can I go?
A mutual agreement.
Yes.
Yeah, mutual agreement should be okay.
If you both sign off on it, I think that's fair.
That's sensible.
If it's just a player saying, screw this guy, that's tough. You don't want free agency every time there's a new coach, because otherwise you may have, if everybody transferred on it, you got 25 guys in each class, you can't even fill out your roster then.
Well, we're seeing that in basketball. It's getting really, it's hard to keep a roster together year to year.
Right. The difference is in basketball, freshmen can be, you see it at Kentucky every year, competent, even star players. In football,
it takes time to build.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
good point.
You know, it's like, if you're a 3-year starter in football, that's a hell of a career.
Mm-hmm.
It really is. 4-year starters are almost never happen. Typically, you hope for guys to be 2-year starters. That's your hope. If you can squeeze 3 years out, you've done a really good job as a coach.
Sometimes they're there 5 years intentionally to get 2 years out of them.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly right. Because they needed that other year.
That redshirt,
and then they're a special teams guy, and then maybe they'll switch in, and then they're a starter eventually. In basketball, come and start tomorrow. Let's go. You can shoot, man. Let's do it.
Let's do it.
In football.
Wait a minute. Do you know a guy? Can we get him to Philly tomorrow?
Oh, boy. So, anywho, that was what I was thinking about this signing day. I don't see any reason for it. I'm sure there are things I don't know about in the NCAA, why you may need it, you know, but all the research and things that I do, I just don't see it. And I know the coaches are upset about National Signing Day being earlier, because now you recruit all year long. Everything has been extended. And, of course, you know, everybody always says, look, I'm not going to have a pity party for a guy who's making $4.5 million. But I don't really care how much money they're making. They get no home time. They don't get time to go out and relax. Everybody needs some reach. I don't care how much money. Jeff Bezos needs a little bit of time to go recharge.
Mm-hmm.
Go up to Montana and throw your fishing line out there a little bit. Everybody needs a little bit, or else you can't function at the same way that you hope to. So I think it would be, like, how awesome would it be as a coach to have your entire class locked up? Say you only get 16. And you got a bunch of fifth-year seniors, and you just don't have that many scholarships. Everybody redshirted. Say you only have to fill 16. What if you're done in August? You just start working on next year.
Mm-hmm.
That is a hell of a deal. That's good for the kids who don't have to worry about anything. No stress. We're done. And it's not just, hey, we're done. Let's make sure there's no hiccups on signing day. It is, we are done. Can't wait to actually have my enrollment papers filed because I'm in. So are you. Be nice for the kids. It'd be a really good deal for the coaches who can then just coach football. And on their bye week, aren't flying out to San Diego in hopes to go see a kid play because you really got to impress him. He's already in.
Yeah, because now with the early signing day in what, is it November? That's basketball.
December for football.
December.
Yeah.
You're on pins and needles.
That's right.
As a coach. You're in season, busting your hump to win games, and you're worried about these recruits. because you don't want somebody to slide in the back door mm-hmm. and take them away from you.
Yep. And
that's a good point. I like that.
And that's the other thing, too. Having a bad season doesn't lose you all your recruits if you got them already.
Mm-hmm.
Ah, well, we just kind of stumbled at the end. Well, I'm having a change of heart. You don't get a change of heart. You sign the papers.
You're in.
Anyway, I kind of like that. So
interesting.
NCAA or Rock, go ahead and clip this whole thing off.
TJ Rule.
The NCAA, please, along with my YouTube video on why I hate the NCAA and why it should be abolished entirely. I had that after the Mizzou sanctions. We're going to go to break, though. We'll be back in a little bit. It's Hardline.